Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Rob Sindel, Chair of Orora Limited, and will chair the meeting today. On behalf of the Board of Directors, I'm pleased to welcome you to the eighth annual general meeting of the company. The meeting is being held by webcast in the interest of the health and safety of shareholders, employees, and other attendees. This year, shareholders may choose to listen to the AGM by phone, as well as ask questions. The notice of meeting and virtual meeting online guide provide detailed information about how to participate via the online platform and via telephone. I will take questions from shareholders and proxies on the phone and through our online facility, both before the formal part of the meeting and once again after the resolutions have been put to shareholders. We will endeavor to read out all online questions relevant to the meeting and summarize duplicated questions. I'll respond, or where relevant, ask one of my fellow directors to respond. Questions received from shareholders and proxies prior to this meeting are addressed in today's presentation. Shareholders or proxies who raise questions during the meeting, which are not relevant to today's meeting, will be contacted following the meeting with an individual response. If you haven't submitted your online questions yet, I urge you to please do so now. It is recommended that you use one of the web browsers noted on page one of the AGM online guide to participate in this meeting. The slides presented are also available on the ASX and on the company's website. Online participation constitutes shareholders being present at the AGM for all purposes. As we have a quorum, I now declare the AGM open. A notice of meeting has been distributed to shareholders, and I will take the notice as read. All Orora directors and Orora's auditor have joined the webcast and can respond verbally to questions posed during the meeting. Due to current travel restrictions, directors, senior management, and Orora's auditor are joining this webcast from different locations. I am joined in person in Sydney by Sam Lewis, Chair of our Audit, Risk, and Compliance Committee, and also Jeremy Sutcliffe. Both Sam and Jeremy are up for re-election today. Joining us from our head office in Melbourne are Brian Lowe, our Chief Executive Officer, Shaun Hughes, our Chief Financial Officer, Anne Stubbings, Group General Counsel and Company Secretary, Matt Wilson, Chief Strategy Officer, and Peter Kopanidis, also from Orora, who will act as a moderator for the purposes of this meeting. Tom Gorman is Chair of our Human Resources Committee and joining us from the United States, and Abi Cleland, Chair of the Safety, Sustainability, Environment Committee, are online, as are our company's auditor, Anton Lynchausen, joining us from PwC. I appreciate that some shareholders may have to leave before the end of the meeting. I therefore formally open the poll on resolutions and encourage shareholders to submit their written questions now. All polls will remain open until the conclusion of today's meeting. Before addressing the formal items of business, I'll recap on the company's major activities during the 2021 financial year, including progress on our strategic objectives and our new sustainability goals. Orora has a long history in manufacturing, distribution, and visual design. The company is an innovative market leader in its field, and this year has continued to adapt and respond well despite COVID-19 challenges. All Orora businesses have continued to operate as essential services, ensuring customer requirements have been met. I also want to acknowledge the resilience and the high health and safety standards that the Orora teams have demonstrated throughout this clearly difficult period. Brian will shortly provide additional comments on safety as well as business and operational performance and our strategic roadmap for our Australian beverage and North American distribution businesses. Turning briefly to the financial results for the year ending 30 June 2021. The group reported a strong improvement in FY21 earnings, with both our Australasian and North American businesses delivering improved financial results. Group EBIT increased by 11.6% and by 17.3% on a constant currency basis. This was driven by an earnings growth in Australasia of 2.5% and a significant 43% increase in North America. Underlying NPAT was up 23.7% to $156.7 million, and earnings per share increased 29% to 16.9 cents per share, a great result for shareholders. These strong earnings delivered a 45% increase in operating cash flow to $246 million. The board declared a final ordinary dividend of 7.5 cents per share unfranked. This brought the total dividend for FY21 to 14 cents per share, a 16.7% increase on last year. During the year, we also returned $256 million to shareholders through our on-market buyback program. We bought back 89.3 million shares, which equates to 9.3% of the company. Today, we're also announcing a new capital management initiative, a $150 million on-market buyback. This follows on from the successful capital management activities undertaken in the last 2 years. Namely, in FY20, Aurora returned $600 million via a $450 million special dividend and $150 million capital return. In FY21, we completed the on-market buyback of 89 million shares I referred to a moment ago. Following the $1.7 billion fibre sale in FY20, post the completion of this $150 million buyback announced today, this will take total capital returns to approximately $1 billion, also a positive return for shareholders. Aurora is committed to being a leading sustainable packaging company. Our strategy remains unchanged, guided by our actions and achievements during the year. This included delivering organic growth by optimising our existing business performance, expanding into new innovative products, and growing our footprint through strategic acquisitions. Shortly, Brian will discuss our progress against those core strategies and some important changes to our shareholder value blueprint. Building on our strong track record in sustainable packaging, Aurora has made significant progress on the targets we set ourselves. During the year, we also set out a bold plan to improve the company's sustainability to meet the expectations of customers, investors, and the communities in which we operate. In summary, the pillars of Aurora's sustainability framework have been redefined to include the circular economy, climate change, and our impact on the community. These aspirational goals represent our promise to the future. We also announced our commitment to achieve net zero scope 1 and 2 greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. Importantly, with an interim goal of a 40% reduction in emissions by 2035, using financial year 19 as our baseline. As an energy-intensive manufacturer, this is not an easy challenge to meet. However, Aurora will continue to build on our strong history of delivering in this critical area. We don't yet have all the technical answers, but we're working with our global partners to develop a pathway post-2035. Importantly, your board is committed to the investment required to meet this challenge. The third pillar of our Refresh framework is our commitment to the community, both in terms of the focus on our team members, as well as meeting changing community expectations. Diversity forms a critical part of this pillar, and we have a strong track record in this area. Our progress is noted in the annual report. Brian will discuss new global diversity, equity and inclusion goals, which are being announced today. And finally, we released our modern slavery statement and supplier assurance framework, which demonstrates our commitment to human rights across the supply chain. On governance, as with sustainability, good corporate governance is integral to the culture and business practices at Aurora. It adds to performance, creates value, and supports an appropriate risk and return framework. Aurora's corporate governance practices are summarised in our corporate governance statement, which you can find in the annual report or on our website. As we build on our strong foundations, Aurora will continue to protect and empower our people, be partners to our customers, and drive innovation and our new sustainability goals to differentiate us from our competitors. Orora is in a strong financial position, and the positive momentum and the results in FY21 are expected to continue into this year. And finally, I'd like to thank the Orora leadership team and all our global team members for their dedication and very hard work during the year. I'll now hand over to Brian for his comments.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob, and thank you all for your continued support of Orora. We are incredibly proud of what we've achieved this last financial year. We continue to maintain a clear commitment to the health, safety and well-being of our people. In FY21, our safety performance improved across a number of areas, including recordable cases. But our lost time injury frequency rate unfortunately increased slightly. And although this increase was primarily from low severity injuries, it does highlight the need for ongoing safety improvement initiatives. On a positive note, there were no serious injuries or fatalities in FY21 and an improvement in the number of potentials in this area. The improved performance was driven by several initiatives, including new behavioural-based safety programs and key initiatives from our safety improvement program, which will continue into FY22. Our FY21 result demonstrates continued momentum and clearly shows that our strategy and strategic priorities are working. In Australasia, higher earnings were driven by volume growth in cans and closures, with overall beverage margins reflecting increased levels of at-home consumption of 375ml cans across FY21. Growth in beer and other non-alcoholic beverages partly offset reduced wine glass volumes resulting from the China tariffs on wine exports. EBIT grew 2.5%, reflecting the continued strength and resilience of the Australasian business. In North America, the businesses have continued the positive momentum that started in late 2020, delivering improvements in operating and financial performance. And although the COVID impact in North America was materially greater than that felt in Australasia, both OPS and OV returned to revenue growth in FY21. Through increased sales force effectiveness, improved focus on customer account profitability, and maintaining cost control disciplines, we delivered an increase in EBIT in both OPS and OV. As the Chair noted earlier, our strategic pillars have guided our actions and the delivery of our achievements in FY21. And I'd like to draw your attention to some important changes. Firstly, in relation to capital investments. In addition to investing to enhance our capacity and product capabilities across our portfolio, we have added sustainability as an important driver for future investment. For acquisitions, in addition to our focus to expand our beverage footprint and aluminium glass product capability in Australasia, we have added an element that looks to expand product and service capabilities in North America. With the business platforms in North America now stabilized and scalable, expansion, including through M&A, will come into greater focus throughout FY22 and beyond. And finally, for capital management, we have added balanced to reflect our balanced and disciplined approach to capital allocation. As the Chair noted earlier, we are announcing a new capital management initiative, a $150 million on-market buyback. As set out in our shareholder value blueprint, we apply a returns-focused, risk-weighted approach to investment and capital management decisions. This means taking a balanced approach to allocating capital towards growth investment opportunities, both organically and inorganically. At our FY21 results, we flagged approximately $100 million of growth capital expenditure in FY22, relating to the installation of a new can line at an existing site of approximately $80 million, and construction of an advanced glass beneficiation plant at Gawler at an estimated cost of approximately $25 million. At this time, with low leverage of 1.5 times and continued reliable cash flow generation, and in the absence of immediate inorganic opportunities in the ANZ region, a return of excess capital in the form of an on-market buyback is considered appropriate. And importantly, given our strong balance sheet and low leverage and the strong cash generation capability of our businesses, the $150 million buyback still allows for modest M&A. Throughout FY21, we have made good progress against our core strategies for each of the businesses and have momentum carrying into FY22. In FY21, we increased can capacity with the completion of our slimline expansion at Revesby in New South Wales. In North America, new leadership in both OPS and OV have delivered strong results in FY21. Both businesses are well positioned for future growth. Looking more closely at our priorities for FY22. In Australasia, reflecting the strong outlook for cans volume growth and with binding heads of agreements on long-term customer extensions, we will invest approximately $110 million in a new can line and increase can ends capacity on the eastern seaboard, providing an incremental 10% uplift in cans capacity, and which is expected to be online for the second half of FY23. In glass, we have made good progress to consolidate alternate growth pathways. Over FY22, the sales opportunities that we have secured will replace approximately 90% of the China export volumes. For OPS, we have an ongoing focus on business model enhancements, including a refreshed e-commerce platform. We remain on track to achieve EBIT margins greater than 5% in the next 2 to 3 years, and we'll start to explore inorganic opportunities to expand our product and service offerings in the second half of FY22. For OV, we are capitalizing on the solid foundations established in FY21 and are on track to complete the end-to-end review of the strategic direction by the end of calendar 2021. I'll now set out the beverage and OPS strategic objective roadmaps. The Australasian beverage business has a range of strategic initiatives across Aurora's strategic pillars. Firstly, under Optimise and Grow, the focus on the business optimization and continuous improvement is part of the DNA of our beverage business, and our robust systems and the disciplined execution in our day-to-day operation forms a strong platform as we look to further scale the business. Secondly, as it relates to enhance and expand, we constantly assess opportunities to further leverage the strength and resilience of our beverage business, such as the additional capacity expansion for cans. We are continuing to invest in our digital journey with a new e-commerce and web presence. From an inorganic perspective, we continue to assess opportunities to expand into logical adjacencies in the Australasian market that will align with our strategies and our capabilities. And lastly, we will assess opportunities to enter new over the longer term that can provide a natural and logical extension to our current capabilities. In North America, the OPS business has been on a careful and calculated journey to re-establish stability in operations and ensure that we have a strong, scalable platform on which to sustainably grow. The results announced for FY21 speak to the positive progress that we have made. Firstly, from an optimise and grow perspective, strong progress has been made against all key strategic and operating initiatives. In particular, OPS has made significant progress in utilising business intelligence tools to drive greater sales force effectiveness and proactively manage poorer performing accounts. These disciplines will position us strongly for future growth as we further scale the business. Second, we separated our Aurora strategic pillar of enhance and expand into two distinct phases in the OPS strategic roadmap. The immediate priority for OPS will be on continuing to enhance the business model with a number of critical initiatives, such as the vital digital transformation journey, with new e-commerce capability being launched later this calendar year. The introduction of lean operating principles to drive greater efficiencies, and the build-out of product and service capabilities into our core markets. Lastly, as we move forward and embed further enhancements into the OPS business model, these strategies may be accelerated by M&A where it makes strategic and financial sense. As the Chair discussed earlier, in August we announced a new chapter in Aurora's sustainability journey, building on the great foundations that we already have in place. We will address the issue of climate change by our commitment of achieving net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050 for Scope 1 and Scope 2 emissions, and an interim goal of 40% reduction in these emissions by 2035 from our FY19 levels. We have a well-defined plan to achieve our 2035 goal. And the pathway between 2035 and 2050 will rely on advances in technology. We are a proven leader in circular economy initiatives that maximise the recycled content of our manufactured products to ensure that these products can be recycled many times to minimise waste. We have a target in our glass business of achieving 60% recycled content by 2025. Our recently announced $25 million advanced cullet beneficiation plant at our South Australian glass facility will not only increase the amount of recycled content in glass bottles that we manufacture, but reduce CO2 emissions, energy use, and divert waste from landfill. More goals will be developed in FY22 to advance our circular efforts across the businesses. For our communities, we continue our committed focus on our team members and the broader community in which we operate. Our commitment to a diverse, inclusive, and equitable work environment comes to life in many ways and helps drive better decision-making, innovation, and growth. Diversity has long been a focus at Aurora, and we've made great strides in recent years. And we continue to focus on diversity through initiatives, including our Willow program, Aurora Proud, which celebrates and raising awareness of the LGBTI community, and educating our people on DE&I. Because this is an enduring focus, we are pleased to share new global DE&I goals, which build on our recent achievements. We have a clear roadmap of initiatives that will enable us to reach these goals. Importantly, while these goals provide a global direction for Aurora, our business groups have tailored their diversity, equity, inclusion strategies and goals, taking into account local cultural factors and laws. This approach brings more meaning and impact to our diverse geographies, as well as the different businesses across Aurora. Along with the board and the executive leadership team, I'm extremely proud of the dedication of our people in developing our promise to the future. Finally, and before I hand back to the Chair for the procedural part of the meeting, I would like to reiterate the outlook for FY22 provided at our recent financial results announcement on the 19th of August still stands. I would like to take this opportunity to provide some additional information about the first half and second half outlook for the Australasian beverage business. Whilst the first half of FY22 EBIT is expected to decline as the impacts of the China wine tariffs are cycled, the beverage business will return to EBIT growth from the second half of FY22 and is expected to be broadly in line with FY21 for the full year. So thank you to you all, and back to you, Rob.